This is Miss Newton at the home of Mr. and Mrs. Robert Unger, and I am interviewing them with their newborn baby. I would like Mrs. Unger to tell you a little bit about Robbie when he was born, how much he weighed, his problems, just very briefly, and then we'll ask her some questions. We'll have a little background sound here because she's nursing the baby while we talk.
Robbie was born March 2nd, 1975. At Overlay Hospital and weighed 3 pounds. And he was born 11:12 p.m. And he was taken cesarean. And the reason he was taken cesarean was because the cord was wrapped around his feet and it kept cutting off his heartbeat every time I had a contraction. And immediately after he was born, he was taken to University Hospital, the Community Center there. And he was there for a week and a day. And then he was brought back over to Overlay Hospital until the 27th of March.
Okay, let you talk a little bit about that.
Okay, when he first came, as Mom said, he went over to the University Hospital, and there he had been premature baby, not just underweight, but being actually premature. They figured he was 32 weeks. He had problems with respiratory, and his respiratory, yeah, he had to breathe. They had to give him extra oxygen. By the end of the morning, he was completely breathing on room air, which was a miracle within itself. I went over there the next morning, and of course, being 3 days older, I got to hold him about 4 or 5 days sooner than my wife did, which is kind of a neat thing because I got to hold him and handle him and be encouraged, so it was really nice for the parents. Each day we watched his weight, and the first 2 days, I think, he went down about an ounce or two. But after that, he kept climbing. An ounce a day. One day, he was as low as a half ounce, but usually it was an ounce and a half. He kept climbing. They took him and opened the portals on his eyes and legs after they got him back over to Overlay Hospital. And about 2 days after that, he kept his temperature, and a sudden open trip. At this time, my wife and I was going over to the hospital at least twice a day at the feast. I was feeding him from a bowl, and of course, I couldn't feed him the way my wife was feeding him when she was there. But through all this, we really grew. There were some babies there that the parents didn't come around as much as Joseph and I did. I imagine it lived further distance than we did. The nurses made comments that because he was there quite often, that the baby seemed like he was very contented and really growing and thriving. So, this showed to me that the concern of the baby can really feel the concern of their parents, even when they're just a few days old. Matter of 2 weeks, I think, he was over to university before he came over to Overlay. And he could actually sense the difference that he knew who he was. This is one of the neat things too that I've noticed.
Okay, Bob and Joyce, now I've got some questions I wanted to ask you that I think would be of interest to the students in the parent education class. And I thought I would list them here, and so I'm going to ask you, and you've had a little time to think about them. So, first question I'll put to Joyce. What has been the greatest experience with the baby?
I think the greatest experience was when I was taken into the living room And since he was taken for Syrian, he did have to give me some medication. But they didn't want to give me too much because of the fact they didn't want Robbie to be so limp when he came that he wouldn't have any type of a NASCAR score. And so after he was born, they put me out completely. But before they did, I heard him cry 3 times. And I think that made such a worthwhile experience for me anyway, just to hear him cry those 3 times before I was put out.
That's interesting. Now we're going to approach the father here with the same question. What has been the greatest experience with the baby?
Well, I think the greatest experience of the baby has been the fact that God had his hand in it, and so the doctors didn't give him but less than a 50-50 chance to make it. And that actually intervened and put him through it. And as far as Robbie's concerned, I think the experience with him, it has to be learn to sleep when he's crying at night. I mean, you know, it's kind of hard.
Okay, I've got another question for you. What major adjustments, if any, have you had to make, Joyce?
Since Robbie was taken cesarean, it has taken me lots longer to realize the fact that I'm not as strong as I used to be, and it takes me lots longer to get back on my feet. Where before I was, well, the doctor put me to bed for 2 weeks because I kept running around and not resting, and I only made it through 1 week. Just the fact of getting back on my feet and learning how to cope with taking care of Robbie and waking up at night, which really doesn't bother me now, but the first couple nights it did because I was still unable to get my strength back.
Okay, what major adjustments have you had to make?
Well, I think the one major adjustment I had to make is my activities at the church. I have always read that Paul said God first and then the family and then the church. But I never really understood it because my wife and I, we had the same interest. We worked at the church a lot. But now that we have Robbie with us, we have to really take time and plan for the family. We've got to keep our perspectives in line with God wants us. You know, to provide for our own family and then work at the church. And this has been one of the big things for me to change is to spend a lot of time with Robbie. I know the last few weeks I haven't been spending too much time with him, and it seems like every time I'm around him, he starts talking. And so I just decided, you know, just spend more time with him. And he's kind of, I think it's one big thing for us, putting everything in perspective that God wants to do.
That's very interesting. Okay, Joyce, how is it being a parent? And how is it for you being a parent?
Well, that's, let's see if I can use the term scary, because, being that I have a son, he's going to follow me. And it's my responsibility to teach him and train him in the way that he wants to go, you know, so he won't be part time. But even though it's scary, that's a good feeling because you know that it's just a feeling of feeling needed, you might say. Fed family and provide and things like this. That's an experience that I'm glad I can share.
All right, Joyce, were you ready for this?
In a way, yes, and in a bigger way, no. we've talked about having a child. And then, oh, I don't know. I didn't really want to quit work, but yet I did. It was a good excuse to quit work. but emotionally, physically, and spiritually also, I'm still preparing myself, but emotionally and physically, I'm prepared.
Are you ready for this added responsibility?
Well, no. I wasn't. Because the baby came 2 months early. I mean, you know, you didn't have a bath and mat, didn't have a crib, didn't have this. You know, there's a whole bunch of things we, well, you know, we got another 2 months to get. Then all of a sudden, everything started happening, didn't slow down until Robbie was here. And so, in that sense, I wasn't, but we was ready because we had planned on him. It wasn't so much of a surprise, and the responsibility wasn't so much of a surprise because we had anticipated it. The thing was a surprise because you can always anticipate something, but you never know what it is until you actually face it. So I think we were ready for him.
He's sure looks so sleepy now. He's being fed here. And oh my, he really is getting chubby. But he weighs about what now? Maybe 5, 6? Something like that. 5 pounds, 6 pounds. And he seems to have a ravenous appetite. But that's good. There's nothing that matters more. Well, Robbie seems to be doing fine. He doesn't have any problems anymore. He sure had him coming in. It was all over. But he's doing just fine now. Not the people there. And what color hair would you say he's got? Where does he get that from? Has he smiled yet? You realize that you recognize colors this early? The research has proved that. That humans can also recognize colors. Interesting. Well, thank you very much. This has been an interesting time interviewing two brand new parents with a brand new baby boy, an infant. And this has been a pleasure for me because I got to see him when he was much, much smaller in the hospital. And he's quite the little boy. Are you happy to have a little boy?
Of course.
We all did, didn't we? I think we all had the feeling that it was going to be a baby boy. What made you think it was going to be a boy, Joyce? I often have that feeling, and I'm usually right. That's not bragging. I'm not bragging. I'm not complaining either. But I've often been right when it comes to predicting that a person will have their baby boy. I think it's just sometimes it's a feeling. Well, praise the Lord. Mom and baby are doing fine. Everybody loves you.
Thank you.
is Shirley Newton, and I'm getting ready to narrate the dramatization on the Gate Gall Beautiful story. Now, I'm reading from the Living Letters version of Acts, the third chapter, where the story takes place. Peter and John are the principal characters. They went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock daily prayer meeting. As they approached the temple, they saw a man, lame from birth, who had been carried along the street and laid beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, as was his custom every day. As Peter and John were passing by, he asked them for some money. Now, Peter and John had passed by this way many, many times before. But Peter and John had recently been filled with the Holy Spirit, and the power of God was upon them. And this time, when they were passing the man at the gate called Beautiful, they realized that they had something to offer him. Oh, no, not money, not silver and gold. But they looked at him intently. And then Peter said, "Look here." The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting a gift. But Peter said, "We don't have any money for you, but I'll give you something else. I command you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Then Peter took the lame man by the hand and pulled him to his feet. And as he did, the man's feet and ankle bones were healed and strengthened, so that he came up with a leap, stood there a moment, and began walking. Then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. When the people inside saw him walking and heard him praising God and realized he was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the Beautiful Gate, they were inexpressibly surprised. They all rushed out to Solomon's Hall, where he was holding tightly to Peter and John. Everyone stood there, awed by the wonderful thing that had happened. Peter saw his opportunity and addressed the crowd. "Men of Israel," he said, "what is so surprising about this? And why look at us as though we by our own power and godliness had made this man walk? For it is the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and of all our ancestors who has brought glory to his servant Jesus by doing this. I refer to the Jesus whom you rejected before Pilate, despite Pilate's determination to release him. You didn't want him freed, this holy righteous one. Instead, you demanded the release of a murderer, and you killed the author of life. But God brought him back to life again, and John and I are witnesses of this fact. For after all, you killed him. For after you killed him, we saw him alive. Jesus' name has healed this man. And you know how lame he was before. Faith in Jesus' name, faith given us from God, has caused this perfect healing."
Tonight, boys and girls and young people, we are going to look into God's word and tell you a story that is true. It happened after Jesus went back to heaven, and after the disciples and believers had been filled with God's Spirit to do his work. We find Peter and John, two of Jesus' disciples, doing something they were in the habit of doing. They were simply walking along, going up to the temple to pray at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon to attend the daily prayer meeting. They were talking together as they walked along. Then suddenly they saw the beggar, the man who was lame from his mother's womb, sitting by the gate, asking for money from those who passed by. Peter and John couldn't give him money. They did not have, but they felt that they could ask the Lord to meet his need for healing, which would be far better. So Peter said, "Silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, give we thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And miracle of miracles, that's just what happened. Peter took his hand, the hand of the lame man, stood him on his feet, and the Bible says his feet and ankle bones gained strength. And he came up with a leap, stood there for a bit, and then began walking and leaping and praising God as he went into the temple with them. And the people this man met inside were so very surprised to see him walking, because they knew he was lame. Jesus' power had done this wonderful thing. Peter said it was faith in Jesus' name that had caused this perfect healing. We want you to remember from this story that God can heal us of our sicknesses and hurts. Yes, doctors are good and we need them, but they can't always help us. But Jesus can help us and does. He wants us to be well. God healed in the Old Testament and Jesus healed in the New Testament. Jesus paid for our healing on the cross of Calvary.
I'll tell you of Jesus for things that I know, for things that I know, for things that I know. I'll tell you of Jesus for things that I know, and his blood washes whiter than snow. He saves me from sin, and that's one thing I know, that's one thing I know, that's one thing I know. He saves me from sin, and that's one thing I know, and his blood washes whiter than snow. He heals my sick body, that's two things I know, that's two things I know, that's two things I know. He heals my sick body, that's two things I know, and his blood washes whiter than snow.
He fills with his spirit, that's three things I know, that's three things I know, that's three things I know. He fills with his spirit, that's three things I know, and his blood washes whiter than snow.